Okay, this is a recording for lecture 31, in which we're going to continue on and discuss compensator design, following from the requirements that we talked about in the previous recorded lecture. We're going to delve into what types of transfer functions we might include in the compensator to achieve specific goals on our loop gain and thus the closed loop performance of our system. So previously, we were discussing the concept of stability and what are the requirements in designing the system to make sure that it's stable. Okay, so our absolute requirement is we need phase margin greater than 0 degrees. But beyond that 0 degrees of phase margin required for stability, we want some additional phase margin, something significantly greater than 0 degrees, because of these trade-offs we've seen between phase margin and closed loop Q. And equivalently phase margin and ringing of our step response. So as a reminder, when stable, phase margin greater than 0 degrees, we have these general trade-offs that reduced phase margin gives us increased Q of our closed loop transfer functions, which is in the frequency domain, and it'll give us increased ringing in the time domain. And smaller phase margins, phase margin closer to 0 degrees, will increase both the amplitude and the duration of ringing that we see in the step response of the system. To analyze this, we looked at a second order system and kind of generalized here and said that this system is second order in the vicinity of the crossover frequency. The crossover frequency here, for this case, was F0. But the crossover frequency, more generally, where the loop gain crosses the 0 dB in its magnitude, I made this argument that, well, if I'm just looking at the behavior of the closed loop system in kind of this range, then it's dictated by the behavior of the loop gain in this same range. So it really doesn't matter if I have additional poles and zeros way back at low frequency, additional zeros and poles way up here at high frequency. The dynamics of the system in the vicinity of this crossover are going to be dictated by the loop gain in the vicinity of the crossover. And this relationship between Q and phase margin was shown in this plot, showing that as we go close to 0 degrees of phase margin, we're going to get infinite time of our infinite duration of our ringing, and we're going to be just boundary stable. As we get closer to something like 90 degrees of phase margin, we're going to have a very stable system, but potentially slower in its transient response. And I've made some comments about this in class and last lecture, but I wanted to formalize it in a couple of slides here. So when we look at our closed loop transfer functions, for example, the reference to output, our V hat over URF hat, as a reminder, was 1 over H times T over 1 plus T. And if I do a straight line plot of this magnitude of T over 1 plus T, that'll look like unity when T is large, and then T when T is small. This is my magnitude of T over 1 plus T. So, neglecting the magnitude of H, say for the moment H is equal to 1, then my closed loop transfer function is just what I've drawn here, this T over 1 plus T in a straight line approximation. And what you'll notice is that then my frequency here at which my closed loop transfer function begins to drop off is no longer equal to its ideal value. This is the frequency where the loop gain crosses 0 dB. So this is F sub C. And it's also going to be equal to my bandwidth of the closed loop system. And I'll say equals approximately, because depends on how we define bandwidth. If I define this in this case for my straight line approximation as the minus 3 dB point of my closed loop transfer function, then this is the bandwidth. Further reason why I put approximately equals to is really whether or not the crossover frequency is exactly the closed loop bandwidth depends on the nature of the system, but it's always going to be roughly in the vicinity of it. So the two examples we looked at last time, when I had a low Q case, my closed loop poles were well separated. So this would be my F sub C, my crossover frequency of the loop gain. But when I actually find my closed loop bandwidth, it's a little bit higher because this resonant double pole that occurs at the crossover frequency actually separates out into two real poles. And now instead of being right at the crossover, it's a little bit above it. I'll note that the notation that the book uses here is a little bit confusing, but because it names this point, which is actually the closed loop bandwidth, F sub C, even though it's not talking about a crossover frequency. The crossover frequency is defined for the loop gain. Crossover frequency is when the loop gain is equal to 0 dB, which is the point labeled here. So here my bandwidth is a little bit greater than the crossover frequency, but still in the same vicinity. So I'm still going to have my approximation be valid. My FC is still approximately equal to my closed loop bandwidth. In the high Q case, now my F sub C, my crossover frequency where the loop gain crosses 0 dB, is this point. My closed loop bandwidth, again, is a little bit higher than my F sub C according to the exact shape of this peaking due to Q. But these two are still approximately equal to one another. Okay? So my closed loop bandwidth, because of this T over 1 plus T, is always going to be in the vicinity of my crossover frequency. What this indicates is that if I want a fast system, a system that can respond to high frequency behaviors, then I want to have a high crossover. So my design goal, I need high loop gain wherever I want to regulate, and I want to regulate over as wide of a frequency range as possible. Which fed into our comments here for our design approach. I want high, low frequency gain, very high if I have a DC to DC converter as I get to very low frequency. I want this to be very large so that I can reduce my steady state error of the DC to DC converter. I want phase margin enough for not only stability, but also any requirements on ringing and overshoot. And this is what we just reviewed, is really the comment here. I want my crossover frequency high enough such that my closed loop bandwidth will be high enough frequency so I can have a sufficiently fast response. So we ended here last time, said we want to begin by plotting an uncompensated loop gain and then diagnose from this uncompensated loop gain, where is it worth putting in some effort in our compensator? How can we improve this to have a better loop gain and have a better closed loop response? So as an example, I'm going to take this system here. This is one of the loop gains plotted in the previous slides. I'm calling this my T sub U, which is my uncompensated loop gain. Means that I'm saying right now my compensator is just equal to one. I'm not really doing any compensation of the system. I'm just letting the loop gain be the product of what the system is itself before I even try to compensate. Okay. So as we look at this system, we'll likely find some things that we're not happy with about it. So from our previous slide, let's look at the three things that we list here. So is the low frequency gain large enough to result in low steady state error? So this system has a integral type response at low frequency, meaning that as I go all the way back on my horizontal axis here, when I get down to DC, I'm going to have infinite gain. So this system will track ideally at DC. I should have zero steady state error. So integral low frequency behavior means zero steady state DC error, meaning if I supply it a VREF, my output voltage is going to go exactly to the VREF I command. How it gets there and whether or not it's stable there depends on the details of the rest of the transfer function. So as we look at it, this is my crossover frequency, F sub C. I don't have labels on my frequency axis here, but it appears to be pretty high frequency. Maybe it's okay. Maybe I'll have a good fast transient response. The big problem that we see is that if I look at the phase at the crossover frequency, my phase margin is this here, and I can't even draw arrows in there. So my phase margin is maybe 5 degrees. This means that my system is going to be stable, but it's going to exhibit large peaking in the closed loop frequency domain and a lot of overshoot, a lot of ringing in my transient response. So stable, but barely. Large closed loop Q. Large ringing. So this is the thing that we need to improve most of all. So my F sub C appears to be sufficiently high. For adequate closed loop bandwidth. And on this, because I haven't labeled the frequency axis or given specific requirements, we're just kind of qualitatively arguing this. If we had some specific requirements on converter operation that our closed loop bandwidth had to be at least 100 kilohertz, then we could check and design for that. So what we want to do with this system is figure out a way to get it more stable, to reduce the, to increase the phase margin. And we'll look at a number of different ways to do that, and in doing so, get an intro to the different types of compensators that we can design. So the first we'll look at, the most simple, is just a proportional compensator, where rather than having G sub C equal to 1, I have it equal to some value. So the magnitude of G sub C is just some constant here, 20 log of GC naught. And the phase of this is going to be equal to zero always. Most simple type of compensator. So I'm just multiplying my error signal by some constant factor in my closed loop. So if I apply this proportional compensator, one thing I can do with the system I have here is multiply by some constant less than unity. And as you remember, multiplying in the linear domain is kind of a addition in the log domain. So if I multiply by something less than 1, 20 log of something less than 1 is a negative number, and I'll just be kind of shifting this whole curve down, subtracting something off of it. So as an example here, if I multiply by something like 1 over 100, I'd go about 40 dB down, maybe that's about this distance. What I'd get is exact same curve, but shifted down. So this would still be minus 20 dB per decade. This still minus 40 dB per decade. And my phase, well, the phases I'll add, but the phase of my compensator now is zero always, so my phase is really unaltered from the previous phase. What I've done by shifting this whole thing down is I've moved my crossover frequency. This was my F sub C hold, and my new F sub C has moved back. Now, at this F sub C, I have some larger phase margin. In this case, it looks like maybe 30, 40 degrees, and my system will have now less ringing, less Q of the closed loop transfer functions. Do this again, multiply by another 1 over 100. Maybe I get somewhere down here. Forgive my drawing. I still have the same slopes of each of these. This one minus 20, this one minus 40. Now my crossover has moved back even further. And now I've got almost the full 90 degrees of phase margin. Okay. So roughly, this G sub C equal to 1 over 10K. This G sub C equal to 1 over 100. So what have I done here? I've made the system more stable. So I've improved my phase margin at the cost of reducing my crossover frequency. Now, it would be a bad idea in this system, but I could multiply by some positive gain in the log domain, some value greater than unity in the linear domain. That would shift the whole curve up. That would push my crossover frequency out, and I would go to somewhere out here and be just boundary stable, have 0 degrees of phase margin. Not a good idea here, but if we had a different system, maybe that would be a useful thing to do. So we could argue that we've improved the system here now. It's more stable, but at the cost of a slowed transient response. So maybe there's a better way to compensate this where we don't have to make these sacrifices in crossover frequency in order to get the stability that we want. Another problem with this proportional compensator is if I had a loop gain that looked like this, let's say this is my uncompensated loop gain. Looks like some T naught plus a resonant double pole. Where this would be my F naught. I can maybe stabilize this system by just a proportional gain. And that's what I'm showing in this red line here. But just barely. So if I knock the gain down enough, now I get a phase margin which is greater than 0 degrees. But pretty darn close, it's just boundary stable. My original system with the F sub C right here would have a 0 degree phase margin and would be definitively unstable. What is the problem here? Well, now I have both decreased my crossover frequency, limiting my closed loop bandwidth, and I've also decreased my DC gain because this system did not have a integral type characteristic at low frequency. And I'll even further say not just the DC, but the low frequency gain. Now, my gain is a little bit greater than 0 dB, but it's probably something like 1.1 in the linear domain. And now my steady state error is going to be quite high. My closed loop transfer function, I'll have this T over 1 plus T term. That's going to look about like a half. So if I command my output to go to 5 volts, it'll go to 2.5 volts and steady out there. Okay. So now have large steady state error. And this will be true at DC, and I'll also do a poor job of tracking any low frequency, anything within the bandwidth here, because my loop gain is so small across the whole bandwidth. So this one, the proportional compensator would be a poor choice. This system will be stable, but will definitely not be well behaved. Okay. So we'll look at a different type of compensator. Here we look at an integral compensator, which just looks like some gain times 1 over S. If I plotted the magnitude and phase of this compensator, it's going to look like a fixed minus 20 dB per decade slope and a fixed minus 90 degrees phase. This looks like a pole back at DC. So we'll get the minus 90 degrees of phase lag from that pole and have this decreasing slope throughout. If I apply this compensator to that same system that we just looked at, I might get something like this. By applying this integral compensator, I get an additional minus 20 dB per decade of slope everywhere. So where it was flat, I now have minus 20 dB per decade. Where it was minus 40 dB per decade, I now have minus 60 dB per decade. And I've got 90 degrees of phase lag throughout the whole system. Phases are added together, and I have minus 90 everywhere for the pure integral compensator. This has now made my system quite stable. Here's my crossover frequency. I look here, my phase margin is a full 90 degrees, but at the cost of a relatively low crossover frequency. My DC gain is very high. I should have very good tracking of a reference signal at DC, but relatively low bandwidth, so a fairly slow response of the system. Okay. As a side note, for DC regulation, pure integral compensator with low enough K, basically the gain of it, usually stabilize a system with zero error. Steady state DC error. And what I mean by that is if we apply this integral compensator and we use that K to shift the whole thing down far enough such that the crossover frequency is really back below any dynamics of the system. Most systems, unless it has something like a double pole at DC or a zero at DC, most systems will end up being stabilized by this and have infinite gain at DC, as long as they are zero dB per decade in their slope at low frequency. So any system that flattens out at low frequency, I can use an integral compensator to stabilize it and to track my reference well, so I get to zero steady state error. In order to do so, I may have to make a crossover frequency so low the system takes multiple seconds just to converge to its steady state operating point, but it will be stabilized. Okay? And most of the power electronic circuits that we'll look at will have a fixed DC gain. For the loop gain, the open loop transfer function that's actually in the loop is the duty cycle to output voltage transfer function. And that should have a DC value, right? If I apply a fixed DC voltage, fixed the duty cycle, I should get a fixed DC voltage out of it, unless I've designed the converter in some way that it won't work. So I should have some low frequency gain, which steadies out. And I can stabilize that with an integral compensator as long as I don't mind kind of poor performance in terms of speed of the response. So this is our integral compensator. We've looked at a proportional compensator. Now we'll look at a combined, what we call a PI compensator, which basically can give us the benefits of both. And it'll eliminate the problem of having this additional phase lag from the integral compensator. So the way this looks, it looks like an inverted zero, which is to say it has a pole at DC plus a zero at some frequency F sub L, and then some high frequency gain, rather than write this in terms of a constant out front and some frequency, we write it using this inverted zero. So looking at the transfer function of this type of compensator, what we see is that it'll give me an integrator characteristic, a low frequency for good steady state regulation. But at frequencies greater than 10 times this FL, I have about 0 degrees of phase lag. So I won't be contributing any extra phase lag. I won't be hurting my phase margin of the system as long as my crossover frequency is well above FL. So if F sub C is greater than 10 FL, phase margin is unchanged from the uncompensated system. So really we use this lag type compensator, this PI compensator, to improve our low frequency regulation, get higher loop gain back at low frequency, but really have no effect on the stability or the transient speed of the system. Looking at an example of a lag compensator here, what you see is that my original uncompensated loop gain has very low gain at low frequency, so I would have very poor regulation. And I designed this lag type compensator in order to increase my low frequency gain. And I put F sub L well below F sub C. So once I get out here to my new crossover frequency, my phase margin, my phase is really unaltered from the uncompensated system, and I still get whatever phase margin I would have had. So that's great. This will improve my regulation at low frequencies. And as long as I have a system where in my uncompensated loop gain, my phase is high enough, this will work fine. The problem is, what happens if my phase isn't high enough in the uncompensated system? Now I need to either decrease using a proportional integral type compensator my crossover frequency to somewhere back here where I do have higher phase, or add a new type of compensator where I can increase the phase out at high frequency. Before we get on to that compensator, a couple more things to point out. You do see an additional 90 degrees of phase lag at low frequency from this integral compensator, from this lag compensator. And depending on how we design this G sub C of infinity, I can shift the whole thing up or down by 20 log of GC infinity. It's the same as a pure proportional compensator. Um, Okay, so the last compensator component in our toolbox here for compensating these systems is going to be a lead compensator, or what's known as a PD compensator. And this is going to consist of some low frequency gain, G sub C naught, and then a zero and a pole, where the zero comes before the pole. Why this is critical, if I have my zero show up first, sub Z, then from a decade below F sub Z, I'll begin to get this increase in phase at a slope of 45 degrees per decade. My phase will begin to ramp up. And adding this pole is going to eventually cancel out all the effects of that zero, right? So the zero will include plus 90 degrees of total increase in phase. The pole will include minus 90 degrees of total change in phase. So I should have kind of 0 degrees of phase here. And then if I went well out here, I'd see 0 degrees of phase a decade above F sub T. So when combined, this zero and pole effectively create this shape in the phase, this sort of bump in the phase. And what we'd like to do is figure out what is the peak amount of phase lead added to the system. And then if I put my crossover frequency, right at that point where I have the maximum amount of phase lead, now I can just add some phase to my system to increase my phase margin. By putting this right at the crossover, I'll get the maximum amount of phase contribution right at the point where my phase margin occurs. So this point is now the geometric mean of the pole and zero. It's going to occur halfway between them in the log domain, which falls out to be the root of their product in the linear domain. Nicely, the book has provided some set of equations for how to select your zero and pole to get the maximum phase lead right at your design crossover. It's partly non-trivial because adding this zero and pole, if I say, let's say, for example, G sub C naught is equal to 1. So we have 0 dB there. Now, in the vicinity of the crossover, I've got some increase in gain, and that's now going to shift my crossover out to higher frequency, which would, if I put this at my old crossover frequency, my new crossover frequency would go to higher frequency, and it would be somewhere out here. Okay? So we have to design this a little bit intelligently in terms of this G sub C naught and the location of the pole and zero frequencies so that my crossover frequency won't move any. So what I really want is this to be 0 dB. That way my crossover frequency doesn't move. The magnitude in the vicinity of it will change a little bit. I'll have some decrease in the magnitude of my loop gain at low frequency, some increase at high frequency. My crossover frequency will stay the same and get maximum phase contribution there. So there's an inherent trade-off here. If I want F sub P and F sub Z equidistant from my crossover on either side, I have to select G sub C naught, that is right value, so that that crossover frequency stays centered. Using this lead compensator, there's a maximum amount of phase lead that we can achieve. That is, of course, 90 degrees. If I put my zero a decade below the crossover, my pole a decade above, then right at the crossover, I get a full 90 degrees of phase lead. In my straight line approximation, this plot actually uses the real values, not just the straight line approximation. Shows that I need not only 2 decades, but really closer to 3 decades of separation between the pole and zero to get a full 90 degrees of phase lead. If I just put them a decade below and a decade above, get something like maybe a little less than 80 degrees of phase lead. So we actually solve out, figure out what the phase of the compensator is at this point where the geometric mean of the pole and zero. I find is that this is the amount of phase lead I get. And for a given design theta, this is the ratio of my FP to FZ. This theta is the amount of additional phase that I want to have, the amount of additional phase lead I want to add to the system. Okay, so these equations right here, just back solve from what we were showing in the previous slide for where to place the pole and zero and how to select the low frequency gain of a lead compensator in order to get a certain amount of phase lead that you select and plug in here. The F sub C and F sub P depend on crossover frequency. We're really saying how many decades below, how many decades above, some fractional number thereof. And then G sub C naught is derived from how we keep the crossover the same. Okay, so we can use these formulas here, these three equations, to actually design this lead compensator in order to give us a certain amount of phase lead right at our crossover. Doing so, assume that you've already done any manipulation of the system to move the crossover to a location you're happy with. So for example, one of these older systems here, I could do this after applying my lag compensator, my PI compensator. So I'd use the lag compensator and this G sub C infinity parameter to push my crossover frequency to where I want it. Once I have the crossover where I like it, if I'm not happy with the phase margin, in this case I was, but maybe assume this zero was right half plane, so instead of hopping up, I kind of hop down and end up with an unstable system here. So if I'm unhappy with that phase margin, I would first use proportional integral or PI compensators to push my crossover where I want it, knowing that I can then apply a PD compensator to increase the phase margin. So I have my crossover where I want it. I use these equations to design my PD compensator in order to improve my phase margin. And I apply that to the system back to this original uncompensated loop gain that we were looking at. If I do this, as you see, at low frequency, I get a little bit of drop in gain, at high frequency, a little bit of increase in gain. But now I get this bump in phase where my phase margin was zero. Now it's theta in this case, specifically because it was zero before. But I get phase margin is my old phase margin plus theta, and my crossover frequency stayed the same based on the way I solved out this PD compensator. So beyond that, the situation I was just describing where we set the crossover frequency first would really look more like a what we call a combined PID compensator, where we have a PI component to it and a PD component to it. So the PI is these two portions here. The hop to a different color. PD would be one of these poles and one of the zeros. And then this remaining pole is some extra pole. Why do we have that? Well, it's because we want a real causal system. So for systems that don't predict the future, we don't really have the ability to have more zeros than poles. In reality, this is really modeling some high frequency pole, which would be in the system no matter what we do. This may come from the way we sample, the bandwidth of the compensator itself. If I use an op amp, that op amp itself will have some bandwidth. So anytime we try to implement this type of compensator, we're going to really end up with some additional pole. In this case, we're just including that explicitly. It's not necessarily a bad thing. If I take this extra pole and put it maybe 10 times greater than my crossover, it won't really affect the phase margin. But having more poles at higher frequency is in some sense a good thing, because it'll help attenuate the high frequency gain, prevent the ripple, switching ripple of the system from circulating through and causing issues. That there is one more comment I want to make before moving on. So the question is, why not make the crossover extremely high? So in some of our examples here, such as, let's see, well, we'll say this system, my phase never goes below minus 180 degrees. My high frequency phase goes out to infinity at minus 180. So I could design a lag compensator somewhere way out here, increase my my proportional gain of the system until my crossover way out here, and I could get a extremely high bandwidth of the system. So the question is, what would limit me from doing that? And in this case, it's the limitation that we've been talking about throughout the course, that the models that we're looking at to solve this loop gain are these low frequency average models of the switching converter. So they do a good job of modeling the dynamics up to about a decade below the switching frequency. These models are going to fall apart as I get close to the switching frequency. There's actually additional phase lag there due to the sampling effect of the PWM modulator, the additional high frequency behaviors of the circuit. So in general, this must be well below switching frequency. Practically, F sub C is equal to FS over 5 would be kind of an aggressive approach. F sub C less than FS over 10 is a little bit more conservative. So no matter what compensator I design, I can't be pushing this crossover up close to or above the switching frequency, or my system will be definitely unstable. And even if the loop gain makes it look like it's stable, that loop gain comes from a model which is neglecting these high frequency effects up close to and beyond the switching frequency. So as we design these, if we're lucky, we'll have a system where we can push the crossover up to something like a decade below the switching frequency. Sometimes, depending on the dynamics of the system, even that's not going to be really possible with these, with a simple compensator. So from there, what I'd like to do next is go through some examples of designing this compensator G sub C in order to shape the loop gain and obtain some favorable closed loop transient response. This is, for the first example, we'll be looking at a buck converter. I've got some numbers here to allow us to approach this numerically and actually look at plots. This example is taken from the book. I would prefer to go over this in lecture with you guys, so we'll end about 5 minutes early on this lecture, and we'll pick up and go through this example on Friday. We'll see you then.